thought you were gonna say good morning Vietnam.
I was going to say good morning Vietnam, but then I realized we were not in Vietnam.
Good morning Vietnam.
I did stop myself at the Vietnam part, and I just left it at good morning.
I thought you were gonna pull a full on Michael Scott and go
good Michael morning Scott. Vietnam.
Yes.
That's not where that comes from.
No, but that's something that he says in the show a lot.
Right, but I was quoting Robin Williams.
I know,
the original
but I
man
think,
who did it.
But I think of...
I was watching a Robin Williams appreciation video yesterday, and so that's why I went with the Robin Williams today.
I think of Steve Carell, but...
That's so wrong of you to do.
I don't know.
That's very, like, upsetting. That you think of Steve Carell as Good Morning Vietnam before you think of Robin Williams.
I love Steve Carell.
And I love Robin Williams.
I like Robin Williams, too.
There you go.
I don't know. I just,
I'm not saying that I don't like Steve Carell. He's awesome. He's great. He's funny. He's hilarious. He's Gru. But...
Well, he's Michael Scott.
But he's Gru.
He's Michael Scott. All right.
I watched Despicable Me before I ever watched
I
The
did
Office.
Too. I did,
so
too.
So, I think Gru shaped my life more than The Office
I think
did.
I didn't really know that Steve Carell... Michael Scott was Gru for a really long time.
I knew it immediately because I also watched 40-Year-Old Virgin.
Okay.
And that I watched before I watched Despicable Me.
Really?
So...
That movie came out when I was, like, 12.
I don't even know.
You watched the 40-Year-Old Virgin when you were, like, 12?
Yeah, I guess. I was watching the 40-Year-Old Virgin at a very young age. So, okay. I think, number one, Steve Carell thing that I watched was 40-Year-Old Virgin, then Despicable Me, then Anchorman...
It's so good. Oh, my
and
goodness.
Then I watched The Office.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah, I don't know. I just think of Steve Carell.
Good morning, Australia! We're in Australia for this.
I'm gonna refrain from doing a stereotypical Australian accent.
Yeah, I would try and do it, but I won't. Because
I mean,
offensive.
I think
I've done an accent in another episode, and I was like, let me not.
Well, there was a whole different person in another episode, so...
That's true.
The possibilities are endless.
The possibilities are endless. Maybe when I perfect my Australian accent... Actually, no, I think I said that I was going to do an Australian accent in this episode.
Do a Hungarian accent.
I did say... No, that's even worse.
Do your best Bianca Hungarian mouse accent.
She doesn't even have a Hungarian accent.
She does. She has some kind of accent. I don't know what it is.
She has some kind of
but
accent.
But it's an accent. I don't know. I don't know what it is.
But I think I did say I was going to try and perfect my Australian accent to say it.
Yeah, I think
to
you
say
did.
Something.
Mm-hmm.
But I won't be doing that because I didn't do that. So I won't say anything in Australian.
Yeah, we'll just save everybody from that. Okay.
There well, you go. Got him.
You ruined it. You said you weren't going to do it, and then you said mate, and then it's like, oh.
Wanna go grab a Barbie by the shore?
Wanna get a shrimp barred Barbie? Mate. There you
wanna go get a Barbie?
Wanna go Barbie on the Barbie? Shrimp on
well,
the Barbie.
Well, got some chips and grab a Barbie.
Chips?
Chips.
Chips is like a... I feel like...
Chips and crisps.
Yeah, but that's like... I associate that with a like Britain more than I do
well,
with
but
like,
the Aussies do it too.
The Aussies do a lot of things.
Well, I got some Vegemite, mate. There you go. That's the best I can give you.
Vegemite?
Yeah. Vegemite.
There you go.
I got a fight with a kangaroo later today.
All right. That is so stereotypically Australian.
Well, I'm not the only thing that's stereotypically Australian, because this movie, The Rescuers Down...
Great segue.
The Rescuers Down Under. It's so, like, flooded with Australian images, even though there's, like... Only one character has an Australian accent.
In the movie has an authentic Australian accent. Because there is like a kangaroo at one point in the beginning that is just clearly an American
the
actor.
The kangaroo in the afternoon, I think... not in the afternoon.
Not in the afternoon. Like in the dungeon.
In the dungeon. I think he does kind of have an Australian accent.
But female kangaroo at the beginning is clearly just an American actor. Trying
is.
Her best.
Yeah.
She's trying so hard. And it's bad.
It's... Anyways. So we watched The Rescuers Down Under.
Down Under.
Down Under.
Down Under. Yes.
And it was interesting. To say,
the least. I don't know. I mean,
was that interesting, really?
I don't know. I think it was exactly what I expected
from this movie. What did you expect?
I expected a pretty average kids movie,
mm-hmm.
and that's what it is. It's before I give away my ranking.
It's spoiler, a pretty average.
Spoiler alert.
Spoiler.
Just, it's average. It's like, it's, I think the first one's better. Mm-hmm. I think mm-hmm. that this one is, it's so predictable. Like, mm-hmm. everything in the movie, I think I remember...
Well, because we've watched the first one, and we know that Bianca and Bernard are gonna save the day.
Yeah, but somehow, I also knew that before the first movie, too. I knew that Bianca and Bernard, before I even met them, I saw their faces on the... on
their
the,
little rat faces.
Their little rat faces on the Disney Plus, like, promo for the movie. I was like, well, they're not gonna lose. They're gonna win, obviously. Yeah. They're gonna save the kid. That's what they do in this movie. It's the same thing. And then I also predicted how the villain dies. I predicted, you know, it's a kid's movie.
Well, you didn't predict how the villain dies.
I did.
You said he was going to get eaten by the crocodiles.
Oh, true, he falls down the elevator. Or the... he falls down the waterfall, not the elevator. I don't know what's happening.
Who fell down an elevator? Dude, okay.
I don't want to get into it.
Segway, there's this movie from my childhood that still traumatizes me, that it's like this cheap horror movie that like I've never been able to find it. I don't know what that movie is, but I remember watching it as a child and honestly it traumatized me. And it was this like cursed possessed elevator because it had been built with a dolphin heart.
What?
It's so weird. It's an elevator that was built and like had a dolphin heart like beating. And so it had a mind of its own. And at one point in the movie, the elevator would just, like, keep trying to kill people. And at one point in the movie, this, like, blind person was trying to get onto the elevator. And it had, like, a companion dog. And so the blind person, like, you know, the elevator opens, but the actual thing is not there. Like, the box is not there. It's just, like, open to fall into the void. And then the blind person doesn't realize, so he just, like, starts walking, and the dog's, like, pulling back and not letting them go, but then just, they both of them fall.
Oh, my God.
Because the blind person just, like, falls in, and then, you know, it's a whole person versus a dog. So he just pulls the dog with him, and it's still I'm still traumatized by that movie. I'm always fearful that an elevator is gonna open, and the actual thing is not gonna be there, and I'm gonna fall, or I'm just gonna, like, fall inside of the elevator. It's just, I don't even know what that movie is, but I still remember it. I've seen it when I was, like, 7, 6. It's traumatizing.
You know what I think of when I think of elevators?
What?
I think of two things. I think of Toy Story 2 and the, like, Zurg scene when they, like, copy Star Wars. And then I also think of that SNL skit, the David S. Pumpkin skit. Do you know what I'm talking about?
No.
Okay. So, Tom Hanks is the host. And it's like a Halloween episode, and it's like this haunted elevator, and there's supposed to be 100 floors or whatever. And they go to each different floor, and there's like the spooky stuff on all these floors. And then there's one floor, it's Tom Hanks dressed in like a pumpkin, like suit. It's so weird. And he's like, I'm David S. Pumpkins. And they're like, well, what are you supposed to be? He's like, and I'm going to scare the hell out of you. And it's like, he does a dance with some skeletons. Like, at this point in SNL, like, Bobby Moynihan is still there. And so him and, like, Mikey Day are the skeletons. They do this weird dance. And the people in the elevator are, like, terrified of, like, why he's supposed to be scary. And he keeps showing up on, like, different floors. They're like, why? How many floors is David S. Pumpkins? And they're like, oh, about 74 out of the 100 floors. So... that's what I think about when I think of elevators, those two things.
Well, I think mine is better, because, you know, blind man falling through an elevator shaft.
Yeah, but David is pumpkins, though.
But blind man to his death.
Okay, well,
and
anyway.
And taking a dog with him.
I meant waterfall.
I was sadder for the dog.
I meant waterfall. I didn't mean elevator.
Right.
But, yeah. Anyway, yeah.
So, the movie starts. It's Australia. It's your normal day in Australia.
They start this movie Australia to the max. They're like, pump up the Australia, just put him in the outback, like this house.
It's
in the middle
literally
of
this house in the middle of absolutely nowhere. He lives with his mom, Cody. His name is Cody, but I will be calling him Chris Hemsworth because he is young Chris Hemsworth. Also, when you think of any Australian blonde man, it is Chris Hemsworth.
Yeah.
So it's Chris Hemsworth, even though it's a lot more of a mouthful than it is to say Cody. I'll just call him Cody.
Just call him Cody. That's the name that they gave him in the movie. Just call him Cody.
Say Chris Hemsworth every single time.
Well, you can just say Chris and we would know what you're... Or Thor. Just call him Thor.
No, Cody. I won't give him Thor credit call yet. Him
God of Thunder.
Even though this child does talk to animals like it's nothing.
Yeah.
And so he lives in the middle of absolutely nowhere.
Now
it's
back.
Just this house surrounded by red rocks. And then suddenly you hear a, what's a, didgeridoo.
It is the most Australian thing.
Thing you could do.
They're starting in the outback with a didgeridoo playing as like the first sound
in
the movie.
And then he puts on his boots and he just runs into the forest.
Runs into the forest, meets some kangaroos and wombats.
Yeah, get some kangaroos and wombats. And the kangaroos, like, the eagle, Marahoot, I think is the name
Marahoot?
Of the
Marahoot?
The eagle had a name.
I just called it a big-ass eagle, to be honest. I didn't
it
know.
Had a name. It had a whole name.
I didn't know it had a name. That's
but
crazy.
The eagle, something about the eagle. So then the kid goes, and the eagle is trapped under, like, a net.
Yeah.
On top of a cliff.
But to get there, Cody has to, like, free solo all the way up this giant mountain of, like,
he
no
has,
ropes
that kid
anything.
Has a death wish. He has no fear of anything. It's this huge, huge, like, mountainside. What's it called? No,
it's not a
mountain. It's a cliff.
It's a
huge cliff of, like, pure rock. And he's just, like, free soloing, no gear, no nothing. He's just climbing the whole thing all the way to the top.
Yeah.
There wasn't, like, a back that he could take. There wasn't, like... No, he just had to climb the whole thing.
Nope. One mistake,
you're done. It's insane. This kid's crazy. But he gets to the top, and it's, like, this huge golden eagle.
Yeah, I realized this movie wasn't going to be based in reality.
When there was
animals.
Huge golden eagle.
Yeah, the giant eagle with, like, the biggest wingspan. I mean, that thing was fucking big. Dude.
It's huge.
It was a
it's
giant
like
eagle.
I get that it's a kid in comparison to the big eagle.
But still.
But she's huge.
Yeah.
She big. But, yeah, he, like, cuts her out of the net.
Yeah.
And then they take a hole.
And then he falls.
Right.
He falls, but the eagle saves him. Like, he was so close to death, like, so many times in this movie.
Yeah, that's true. That kid falls to his death. He's, like, probably, like, 9.
That kid's got 9 lives, all
he's
right?
Probably, like, 9, and he has fallen to his death in his 9 years of life more than a person in their entire lifetime.
He fell more in the, like, 2 days that the
yeah,
movie
yeah, in the 2
took,
days that the movie takes place.
Than I've ever fallen down the stairs.
I don't think I've ever fallen down the stairs either.
I've fallen down the stairs, like, maybe twice in my life, and I think I stopped myself one of the times, so it didn't even count. But, like, he falls so far, like, he should be dead, like, a couple of times in this movie.
Yeah, he should have died. But, so he just falls, and it's so funny, and it's also kind of, like, morbid. How, like, when he's falling, he's, like, screaming at the beginning, but then he just suddenly...
He accepts his death.
He stops crying. Just, you see a single tear come out of his eye.
He starts crying. he yells for, like, a second, and then
he just accepts his fate. He just, like, accepts his fate, and he's like, well.
He starts silently crying on the fall down.
This is how I die.
This is how it is, I guess.
It's just so morbid how this, like, 9-year-old just accepts his death.
Yeah.
But, you know, obviously we're not going to have a child just splatter on the floor.
Yeah.
On a Disney movie, so the eagle rescues him because, you know, he rescued her.
Yeah.
And then it's this whole sequence of, like, How to Train Your Dragon.
Yeah, they go water skiing and then they go
begins.
Into space.
Yeah. Well, they go out of space in the end.
Oh, yeah.
They right. only go up to the clouds this time. But
yeah.
The eagle is just, like, the kid and the eagle are having a time. Just, like, floating through the air. It's literally, if you've watched How I Met Your Dragon, you know what it is.
How I Met Your Dragon. How I Met Your Dragon.
What's wrong with us today?
Weeknights on ABC.
How to Train Your Dragon.
More like How to Train Your Eagle, because it is a big eagle.
I don't know what's bigger, the Toothless or...
I don't know, that eagle. Toothless is the name of the dragon.
Yeah, Toothless or Marahoot.
I think the eagle is bigger.
I think Marahoot is bigger.
The eagle is bigger. But they get back to the eagle's nest, and she sort of, like, gives Cody the, like, right to be there and, like, touch the eggs, and...
She gives him a feather.
Gives him a feather as, like... a gift.
And he's like, no, I can't take this. It's like, sir, it's a feather.
It's like, sir, you're gonna take my feather and you're gonna like it. You're gonna like the feather.
Also, out of all the animals that talk, why doesn't the big eagle talk?
Yeah, what are the rules for, like, talking animals?
I say this about, like, every animal movie that we watch where, like, some do and some don't. What are the rules? What makes some animals talk and some animals not talk? Why can he communicate with the eagle, you know?
I don't know.
Like, he can communicate with the kangaroo and the wombat.
Yeah, they're straight up talking to him. Like, the mice talk. Every other animal talks in this movie, but for some reason the eagle, like, just, like, nods and, like...
And the salamander.
Yeah. Well, the salamander, I feel, can talk, but is, like, really dumb and uneducated.
No, I just...
I think he's trying his best
to talk. think he can talk.
I think...
Joanna.
I don't think
she can talk.
I think she's trying her best, but okay. So
Joanna has that much.
But what are the rules in this universe?
You just never know with this movie. They just let some talk, and then they don't give a shit about the other ones. They're like, I don't care if you talk or not.
Yeah.
You have no important thoughts. Even though this woman eagle has gone through the loss of her husband, eagle, father of her children, man, that has already been killed.
Yeah.
She has a lot to say. Maybe that's why she doesn't talk. She's like mourning the death.
She took
a silence oath.
Okay.
To like mourn the death of her husband.
We'll go with that, I guess. But then why is Joanna not talk?
She's stupid.
Okay.
She's dumb.
Sure.
Percival only made it to third grade. She didn't even make it to kindergarten.
Oh my gosh.
Joanna's stupid.
Didn't make it through salamander school.
All those, like, raw eggs with the shells that she eats are just, like, damaging her brain.
She's losing brain cells as she eats the eggs.
As she eats her eggs. Because Joanna is so weird. So I've seen this movie before. And for some reason, one of the main things that I've remembered... I didn't remember the giant golden eagle. But the main thing that I remember from seeing this movie... Even though, like, as watching it, I started to remember a lot of the other things that happened in the movie. The main thing that I remember is that Joanna just loves to swallow eggs.
She eats a lot of eggs.
She eats a lot of eggs. And that's, like, the main thing that I remembered for some reason. As soon as I saw Joanna, you can ask Riley... Well, you can't, but...
You can if you want. In your mind.
In your mind. As soon as I saw Joanna, I was like, she eats eggs. I remember her eating eggs.
I remember
her swallowing an egg whole. Shell and everything.
There you go. Yeah, eats a lot of eggs.
But then, so, he saves the eagle, and then the kid goes to, like, save a mouse... But
it's a trap.
It's a trap. He falls into a trap.
Yep.
And then that's when the villain of the...
The villain of the movie.
The villain of the movie, Percival...
McLee.
C. McLee, a man who has only made it to third grade.
Yes. That's the most memorable line in the movie. He's like, yeah, I... What does he even say? He says, like...
I didn't make it to third grade for... I don't know.
He's like, I didn't make it to the third grade for nothing, as he's, like, driving away in his tractor tank.
I don't even know, but... Percival C. McLee, a man who made it to the third grade, who has a pet Komodo dragon, salamander.
They say it's a salamander, but it looks like a Komodo dragon.
It's a salamander, too.
It's a big-ass salamander.
Yeah, well... That's because of how many eggs she eats.
It's a dinosaur.
Yes. He has a prehistoric dinosaur. Yeah, instead of trying to capture the eagle, why doesn't he just sell Joanna?
I don't know.
I think she's pretty rare as rare as they come.
A pretty rare commodity, yeah, for sure.
But with his pet snake salamander thing, Joanna, which I will say, if you remember from the first movie, Medusa, the villain, she has two pet crocodiles.
Yeah.
And now this man has a pet salamander. What is it with all these villains having pet amphibians?
I don't know, man.
And they both can't talk, because, like, the crocodiles in the first movie could not talk either.
Yeah.
So, like, why do they have to be fucking... And also, like, Joanna's the dumb version of the alligators. And
it's true. There's only like, one of them. She's smaller, and she's, like, really stupid. The crocodiles actually do a lot of smart things.
The crocodiles from the first one are, like, good pet psychics, but Joanna's just straight up dumb and eats that man's eggs.
She only cares about the eggs, man.
She only cares about eggs.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I don't know what is it with, like, the Rescuers franchise. Well, I don't think you can call it a franchise.
It's the Rescuers cinematic universe.
Yeah, I don't think what it is with the Rescuers cinematic universe, but they just like their villains to have some sort of slithering animal, amphibian, as their pet psychic.
As their companion, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, she's not even that loyal, either, because at the end... He falls down the waterfall elevator.
Well, and, I guess she's smarter than
that. Well, yeah, and she just waves goodbye.
You're done.
She's like, I'm not even loyal. I'm not going to go down with you. I'm just going to let
you go. He takes her eggs.
He takes her eggs. But then
fight for her eggs.
Well, yeah, I don't know. I mean, it was smart of Joanna to do that.
Exactly.
But, yeah. But anyway, Cody, with his eagle feather, gets in the trap. McLee comes and sees that he has the feather and is like, where did you get this feather, boy?
He's about to shoot Joanna. They have a love-hate relationship. That man is about to shoot Joanna and then realizes through the scope of the shotgun that Cody has a feather in his backpack and it's one of the golden eagle feathers. And that's when we realize that, you know... McLee killed the father.
The father of the eagle,
kids,
yes.
Because he's like, oh, I know where you got this, because I got the feathers.
I already dealt with the father.
And then
he does the
neck thingy with the feather of like.
Yeah, like
dead.
He dead, like not alive anymore. But I think the relationship Joanna and McLee is just, it's the same abusive relationship as every Disney villain. You know, sidekick relationship.
To their sidekick. Yes. Yeah, every villain has to be a bitch, not only to, like, the heroes, but also their sidekicks.
Yeah,
like, a thing. The villains have to be a bitch to absolutely everyone.
Yeah. Well, I think they always use that relationship as comedic relief in every one of these Disney movies.
It's kind of bullying. It's kind of fucked up.
Yeah, of course it is, but...
Like, they're a sidekick for a reason. They're trying to help, and then the villain's like... get fucked.
Well, and always at the end there's either like the sidekick usually doesn't even die with the main villain. The main villain goes down and then the sidekick either like helps the heroes or just like betrays the big bad. So
yeah,
you know. And Joanna doesn't really do that, but she I don't know.
She does say goodbye to him without trying to rescue
him. She does say goodbye and doesn't stay loyal, but I mean fair enough.
But so Percival, big bad guy. I don't like... Percival's an ugly name.
Yeah, I'm just going to call him McLee, to be honest.
McLee's a good one.
Yeah.
So McLee figures out Jake knows where the big golden eagle is. So he kidnaps him.
He kidnaps him, yeah. Just like Penny in the first movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. And takes him to his...
How was Penny tied
dusty
to the whole thing in the
rock
first
lair.
Movie?
What?
How was Penny even tied to the whole thing in the first movie? How
just,
did Medusa...
Just a kid that gets kidnapped. I don't even think they explained that.
No, it's right. It's because Medusa just needed someone, like...
She needed a small person to... So she takes a kid from an orphanage.
Because they have no family already.
They had no family.
One's gonna look for them.
That's pretty considerate of Medusa. To not take a kid from an already existing family. She's like, you know what? I'll leave those kids. Because they have a parent. But Medusa thinks... You know, Penny, she doesn't have a family, so I'll just take straight from the orphanage, you know?
Yeah.
No parents are going to miss them. It'll be fine.
That's very considerate of her.
That's right. Very considerate of Medusa.
Is her name Medusa?
Yeah.
I feel like we're...
It's Medusa.
Huh.
Which is crazy, because that's such a weird name to have as, like, you know...
Yeah, if you're not the Medusa
if you're not
with
the... The snake lady.
The snake head lady.
Yeah.
That
I mean,
turns people into stone.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's why they call her that, because she kind of resembles that with, like, her crazy hair or something. I don't know.
Sure.
I don't know. I'm trying to give some...
So, Cody runs away, almost has to jump into water contaminated with alligators, but Percival stops him. And...
Where? I thought you were skipping, like, way ahead, but
no.
Yeah. Yeah,
I, okay. At the beginning. And then that's when he kidnaps him by throwing his, like, backpack into the river. So then his mom thinks that he's dead.
Yes,
exactly. Which also very considerate of him. It's the same, kind of the same thing where, like, you're not giving them, you're not giving the parent, like, the constant worry of, well, like, this child could be out there. You just straight up give it to them, like, this child died.
I think he's just trying to do this.
You don't have to live with the emotional turmoil that they might be alive.
I think he's just trying to, you know, make sure the marshal doesn't think that the kid is still out there and continue to look for him.
Well, exactly.
I think that's more like, I want the marshal to be off of my back and not have to bother me and just think that the kid is dead. Even though they don't recover a body or have any evidence other than the fact that there's a chewed up backpack in the river.
There's a chewed up backpack, yeah.
Yeah, so.
But that's ever so enough, apparently. Also, something really fast that I want to mention now, because I don't think we're going to get to it, is that the marshal and the mom don't ever see their faces. Which is so weird, because Disney's doing this thing that they used to do way back in the day, where, like, sometimes they wouldn't show the faces of the adults. Yep. Like, in the first, I remember in the first Lady and the Tramp movie, they just didn't show the faces of the adults.
They didn't, did they? No. I think cartoons used to do that a lot, because I watched Tom and Jerry a lot as a kid.
But here's the thing,
and
because
they didn't show faces of adults.
Yeah, but here's the thing, because sometimes they do it for the adults, but, like, what's the point in this movie? There's, like, Percival is an adult, and they fully just show him.
But he's a villain. I don't know. I feel like
if you're gonna do that, then just show the rest of them. I don't know. It just seems like you just didn't want
to,
like,
try
and animate a face that shows up for, like, less than five minutes in the movie.
Yeah.
Both of those faces show up together, combined, less than 5 minutes of the movie.
Yeah, I don't know. It's the whole Charlie Brown thing, where adults sound like, you know, they're really boring. Like, they do the wah-wah thing, and it's the same
thing. But in Charlie Brown, it really makes sense, because it's a show about, like, kids.
Yeah,
you
kids
know?
Think
so
that
it
adults
make,
are boring.
Yeah, it makes sense to omit the adults. And Tom and Jerry, too. Like, it makes sense to get rid of the adults, because it's about Tom and Jerry. But in here, we have a full adult villain, a mom, and a marshal, like, just animate a face.
Yeah, I don't know, man.
It doesn't take that much.
I'll make sure to bring it up with Disney and be like, what's up, man? What's up with the no faces?
What's up with the no faces?
In only the Rescuers and, like, specific movies. Because, like, in other movies, like, Peter Pan, I remember the adults' faces.
Yeah.
It's, like, very distinct. Like,
yeah, they had faces.
They had faces, and there wasn't a problem with that. So, yeah, I don't know. I don't know what's the deal with that.
So he kidnaps the child, and then immediately, like, cut to, suddenly, we're back, no, we're not.
Well, then the mouse sends a transmission.
Yeah, the mouse, there's this whole, like, scene when they are, like, relaying the signal that a child has been kidnapped.
Yeah.
All the way to the UN of mice rescuers in,
The Rescue Aid Society in New York. Well,
remember.
Okay, it's Marshall Aid. Well, because that dumb song. It's the song in the first movie. They do the Rescue
Aid. They didn't
Aid
sing it
Society.
Again in this movie, did
they? Didn't. I thought they were going to.
Yeah, I remember you thinking they were going to, but they didn't sing it again. It's funny that you still remembered the name of it.
You know, embedded in my mind.
Well, it did what its job was, to make young kids remember
The
it.
Mouse in Australia sees... Cody get kidnapped and relays a message to the Marshall Islands, which then go to Hawaiian Islands, which I'll say that all the mice in
Hawaii
all have Hawaiian shirts on, with, like, pineapples and palm trees.
What other way are you going to show that they're Hawaiian?
They say that they were like, it's the Hawaiian Islands.
Well,
they had text on the screen
the
that
actual
was like,
mice.
We're in Hawaii.
But the actual mice.
And then it goes all the way. It finally reaches New York after bouncing around through all the cities in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
Which I thought it was actually kind of a cool, you know, thing. I don't know. I'm just a geography nerd.
Gross.
Yeah. So it finally gets to New York. And then we cut to the Rescue Aid Society with the mice. And they're
no,
like...
No, we cut to Bernard and Bianca
no, but they have
having
to...
a dinner.
No, they cut to the Rescue Aid Society first.
And
they're like, well, we know who we're going to nominate to go. And then they pan
which
up.
Is so stupid. Let's talk about this. Bernard is now, like, an agent.
He's
like,
a member.
Like, a national member, even though he was the janitor in
the
first movie.
He's
the
U.S.
movie.
Ambassador now.
He's the U.S. ambassador. We're in the U.S., and you couldn't find anyone better than the janitor.
Than the janitor, yeah.
And that's your U.S. ambassador now?
I'd like to think that, like, Miss Bianca has, like, a lot of sway in the society, and she's sort of like, well, we're gonna get rid of the old ambassador, because I like Bernard.
Obviously, she has. Like, remember in the first movie when she was, like, everyone was looking at Bianca? Bianca was pulling everyone. Yeah, well, that's she because... was walking in, and everyone was like, oh, like, everyone would do anything for that girl.
Yeah.
That's pretty privileged. Because
she's a woman.
Exactly. If you're pretty and you're a woman, a female mouse.
Yeah.
You get things.
It's true.
So that's what Bianca did. She just came in looking like everything. Looking like...
looking like a woman.
Looking like a woman. Smelling just, like a woman.
Yeah.
And everyone just like, gawing at her.
Yeah. So they're like, all right, so we know who we're going to nominate. And they pan up to the empty Hungary and U.S. desk. And they're not
that
there.
Are next to each other. Which also, it was the moment that I realized that Bianca was the Hungary...
I can't believe you remember that.
I did not know that.
She's a Hungarian
Even
ambassador.
Even after I've watched both of these movies before...
Multiple times, yeah.
I did not remember that. Yeah. I did not know that Bianca was the Hungarian ambassador.
Oh, there you go.
I did not know where Bianca was from. But it also... It explains her outfits.
Sure, yeah.
You know, very, like, stereotypical.
I guess. I don't know. I don't know enough about...
pseudo-Russian outfits.
Hungarian outfits. I don't know. But then we cut to...
Well, I thought she was Russian. That's the thing.
We cut to a dinner. And the mice are, you know, in the chandelier because, you
being
know,
served by cockroaches.
Being served by cockroaches. Pea soup out of, like...
a pea.
Yeah, exactly.
A singular pea.
Terrible. And Bernard's trying to propose to Bianca... and it's this whole misunderstanding thing.
I'll take over.
Yeah.
So there's this whole misunderstanding thing where, like, Bernard's trying to propose to Bianca that night, but then he drops the ring. And then he goes looking for the ring, and that's when Bianca gets the message that they are being asked to go on this mission to Australia. And then he and the cockroach goes to look for Bernard to tell him the same thing that he just told Bianca, and then Bernard's like, yeah, I'm not gonna talk to you. And the cockroach is like, but sir, like, you need to hear this. And he's like, yeah, I don't give a shit. So Bernard just gets back to the table.
He's very nervous. He's very preoccupied. He just dropped his wedding ring, his tiny little wedding ring.
Yeah, his tiny little tiny mouse wedding ring.
And he's
and
about
then
to
he
propose.
Gets back to the table, and Bianca's like, did you hear what the cockroach said? And, she was like, did you talk to the cockroach? And Bernard was like, yeah, sure. And she was like, okay, well then, yeah, I already know what you're gonna say. I know what you're gonna say, I agree, we should do it, whatever. And he's like, oh, just like that? So do you wanna, like, do it in, like, May next year?
Yeah.
And Bianca's like, no, right now, we have to go right now. And he's like, right now? Because he thinks, get it, this is for kids, I know, but, like, it might be a little bit hard to understand. He... thinks she's talking about the marriage. She is talking about the mission to Australia. So then they go back to the UN building, which it's funny because it's the same way that it happened in the first movie when, like, Bernard was just kind of shoved into a mission without even knowing what the hell was happening.
Yep.
It's the same thing in the first movie. Bianca just shoves Bernard into a mission without him knowing what the hell is going on.
Yeah, he has no idea.
He just accepts it. He's like, oh, okay. Even though he's always scared about everything, Bernard's a bitch.
Okay. We'll talk about that when we get to Jake, okay? I don't want to fucking
Jake's
hear
awesome!
It. I don't want to hear it. All right,
Bernard's
so...
Bernard's kind of a fucking bitch.
So they go...
He's kind of a bitch.
I don't want to hear it. So they get to the Albatross Air, you know, fair or whatever, the thing that they... you know,
a fair
to
fair from here to there.
Yeah, exactly.
Albatross Air.
And Orville is replaced by Wilbur because they had to, I don't know, change the voice actors
fair
or something.
Fair from here to there, Albatross Air.
Albatross Air. They change Orville to Wilbur, and I don't know why they did it. I guess maybe they just wanted a different voice actor.
Yeah, I don't know why we couldn't have Orville back.
I liked Orville. I like Wilbur, too.
Yeah, I like Wilbur.
Wilbur's
I think Wilbur's
funny,
but I miss Orville.
Yeah, I miss Orville.
I don't know. Did the actor die, maybe?
Maybe.
Maybe he could have died.
I don't want to think that, but it's the first thing
died.
That came to my mind.
Maybe he just didn't want to work with Disney anymore.
It's possible.
We had a new
They had a misunderstanding. And they had to replace him. So Orville is replaced with Wilbur.
Misunderstanding that ended with a shot to the head.
Yeah, and they...
you can't disagree with Disney.
They go to Australia after, like, 5 minutes of trying to tell Wilbur, like, what they're doing. Like, the whole time, they're like,
Wilbur, just listening to what's his name? Elvis Presley.
He's listening to Elvis, and then he's also like, all right, where do you want to go? You want to go here, here, here? All right, when do you want to go? All right, well, we're going to schedule in for next year or whatever. They don't know that he has to go right now, and he's just so distracted. It made me so annoyed, seeing him just
it's just a very long scene for no reason.
It is. It's super long. He's, like, jumping from thing to thing, and it's like, dude, just listen to them. Like, they're telling you exactly where they were going, but they finally get there, and there's no weird montage song in this one.
Oh,
I thought there was going to be another one.
That's true. In the first one, they do a huge montage
with, like, a song in it. But they don't do that. They get to Australia, and they do what I thought they were going to do in the first movie, which is just, you know, hitch a ride on a plane, which, you know, makes a lot of sense if you're flying all the way from New York to Australia.
They did. They hitch a ride on a plane.
Yeah, they do
and
that.
And then they fall on this, like, badly 3D animated Sydney Opera
House. It's a really poorly animated Sydney Opera
so
House.
It's so bad.
Yeah.
It's like a rendering. It's not even like a full animated thing. It's just simply a rendering of this
really
like
bad.
Very small version of the like Sydney Opera House. Like the Sydney Opera House is big, and this is like looks very small. When I first saw it from the plane, I was like, "There's no way that's what they're trying to do with this." But then you get closer, and it's like, "Oh, that is the
that's
Sydney."
That's exactly
Opera.
What they're doing.
That is the Sydney Opera House. Yep. Why is it so small?
It's Australia, mate. You gotta have the Opera House. You know.
That was awful. I think mine's better,
mate.
I think mine has been way better than yours. It's Australia, mate. You gotta have the Opera House.
All right. So I get to the, like, landing strip or whatever, which is just, like, a roof on the house.
It's a roof and a house.
And Jake is there.
We meet Jake, which, when I saw it, I was very confused what kind of animal he was supposed to be. But then I looked it up and I realized he is called a hopping mouse, which explains why he hops.
Hops, yeah.
He is a mix between a kangaroo and just a mouse.
Yep.
So that is Jake. Like we said, the only character with
authentic Australian accent. And through the middle point of the movie, you had the same thought that I did, which was that Jake is just Buck from Ice Age.
Yes.
What even is he? He's like a weasel?
I don't remember what Buck is.
He's
but
a weasel.
Buck from the Ice Age.
He's a weasel with an eye patch.
They do the same thing where they're just like fucking wild. Except Buck is more deranged and I adore Buck
I
more.
Love Buck because like he's Buck. Crazy.
He's deranged.
He's insane.
He's lost it. He's lost every bit of it.
He's lost an eye. That's what he's lost. Fought the T-Rex. He's kind of like, what's the name of the character from Moby Dick? The captain who has...
Oh, I don't know.
What's his fucking name? I'll look it up because it's bothering me.
I don't know,
but
and
he
I
has,
don't care.
He has like, he lost his arm or something to the whale. And he's like,
just another deranged guy looking
yeah,
for revenge.
Yeah, he has like a vengeance.
Except Jake is not unbothered.
I think it's Captain Ahab. Yes, it
oh.
is. Captain Ahab. He's yeah. one-legged. He's lost a leg because
yes,
of...
Yes, yes, yes. I know. I know who
whale.
You're talking now.
Yeah.
But,
He's just deranged.
So, Jake, he's actually not deranged. He is very well put together.
Well, he's a piece of shit, all right? Well, he tries to steal Bianca from
Bernard.
Here's
what I said as soon as I saw Jake. He's hotter than Bernard.
Yeah, the first thing you said about Jake, you were like, Jake is hot. And I was like...
No, I said that about the kangaroo.
Oh, you did say that. You were like, his jaw.
I just said, I just said Jake is hotter than Bernard. And it would make a lot of sense if Bianca went with Jake instead of Bernard. He is hotter than Bernard. He is more adventurous than Bernard. He matches Bianca's lifestyle more than Bernard.
He's a douchebag, all right? He steals Bernard right... He steals Bianca right
from
Bernard.
No, he doesn't. He just looks at her and he's like, damn, she can't find.
I don't like Jake at all. He has no faith in Jake at all, either. Or in Bernard, either.
I don't think Jake chose to be, like, a bad person
until,
like, they are in the cage. And he's like, yeah, Bernard will come and save us right up. Good bluffing there, Miss
like,
Bianca.
Good old Bernard. And he's like, oh, well, good job, Miss Bianca. They'll totally buy it.
Good bluffing, Bianca. And she's like, I'm not bluffing. That's the only time where he shows to be kind of like an asshole. But before that, I think Jake is just fine.
Yeah.
I don't think he does anything wrong. And Bernard is just, he keeps getting shit on over and over again. And they keep showing him to be, like, this is the movie's fault. They keep showing him to be so incompetent. Like, he's always scared of everything. He can't ride the snake, even though Jake and Bianca are on the front of the snake, living their best life. He can't ride the what are those little animals shine?
The, like, lightning bug thing?
Lightning bugs?
That's like a firefly?
Fireflies.
There are two names for it, but...
Well, yeah. Fireflies. He can't also ride the fireflies, even though Jake and Bianca, once again, are living their best life, being very compatible.
I think the idea is that Bernard is getting shafted by Jake.
I don't think that is by Jake's doing.
I think that's Jake's fault either, but I think...
It's simply that Bernard's kind of a bitch.
I think the movie tries to show Bernard's point of view... as he is getting shafted by Jake, and Jake is just taking Bianca. Like, Bianca straight up doesn't, like, do anything while Jake is making his advances. Like, he straight up, like, puts her arm around her.
Well, Bianca also doesn't realize. She's very oblivious Bianca is
super oblivious to everything.
She's just like, ooh, he's being nice to me. She's
like,
oh, what
a nice person. Like, people just aren't nice to you, okay? Like,
if you're a woman, men aren't just nice to you.
They're
gonna
take advantage of you, or they have some...
They just wanna fuck.
They have some ulterior motive, which is usually, yeah, they want to do that. So, yeah, Bianca's oblivious, is what I'm saying. And I think Bernard really redeems himself at the end.
I think he does. But, okay, so we get the firefly thing, and then suddenly we cut back to where Cody's being kept with the hot kangaroo. And there's a koala there. There's one of those little, like,
snake?
No.
Frilled lizard?
Lizard thing that
it's,
has
yeah,
the...
it's got, like, a weird frill. It's a frilled lizard.
That's what it's called?
Yeah.
Mm. So there's one of those there, and there's a bunch of animals that,
Frank.
McLee is... What?
Sorry, I just remembered the lizard's name is Frank.
There's just a bunch of animals there that... Cody can once again talk to. He couldn't talk to the eagle, but he can talk to all of these animals.
It's just the eagle, I think. The eagle and Joanna are the only animals. Every other animal he could talk to for some reason.
I guess.
I don't know.
It's so weird.
It's weird.
But they try to escape, and then the salamander comes in through her little...
Doggy door.
Dog door. And puts the keys back in place.
Mm-hmm.
And then Jack... What's his name?
The lizard?
Yeah.
Frank.
Which Frank starts having a mental fucking breakdown.
Frank is on his last... He's on the edge, bro. He is on the edge for the whole...
Frank, like, is about to lose
dungeon
it.
Scene, and he doesn't even know that he unlocks the door.
Yeah, he starts like, I'll just unlock it with my tail! I'll just do it with my tail!
Which he does,
and
but...
he starts, like, going at it with his tail, but it's implied that a long, like, long time has gone by.
Yeah.
Until he's actually able to unlock
it. We're watching this lizard have a mental breakdown on screen.
But yeah, he's able to unlock it, and then they tell him to, like, go get the keys. He makes a lot of noise when they tell him to, like, get a box to stand on it because he can't reach the keys. He gets, like, this plank.
He gets a plank
and he stands on it. And Cody's like, no, get a box.
No, get the box, Frank. Get the box. And all the animals are like, shh.
He's
like,
so funny.
He's like, oh, yeah, box. He's got, like, ADHD or something. He just doesn't know how to focus for some reason.
Oh, yeah.
Gotcha, box. And he finally gets the keys, right? And then Joanna comes back and starts chasing him again. But Cody gets the keys, finally. But then McLee comes in, and he's like, all right, well, we're gonna... You thought you were getting away, huh? You're not getting away that easy, see? You know? That's not what McLee sounds like, but I just want to imagine that it sounds like that. He also is an Australian. I think he's just American. He's just an American poacher.
Yeah, he's just a random American guy stealing precious animals from Australia.
Yeah, exactly. He's just an American poacher. But I like to think that he's from the 20s, and he's just like, ah, thought you're getting away now, see? Whatever. I don't know. And then they... Okay, okay. So McLee... I was having trouble for a second remembering. McLee lets Cody go because... Mm. There's another scene where McLee is, like, trying to figure out how to tell, how to get Cody to tell him where the evil is.
And that's when Joanna's eating all the eggs.
Yes, and Joanna is, like, stealing all the eggs.
And that's how he realizes, the eggs.
The eggs.
The eggs. So he's gonna let Cody go, and he's gonna let Cody, like, lead him to where the eggs are, because he assumes that as soon as Cody gets let go, he's just gonna go straight for the egg.
Which, by the way, I'll say, if it's not a kid's movie, Cody is, like, gonna tell him where the eggs are. He's going to. Like, there's only one scene in it where McLee is, like, throwing knives around him. But, like, if this isn't a kid's movie, I kept thinking about that. I kept thinking, Cody's gonna tell him. Like, in real life, the kid is gonna tell him where the
eggs are. Yeah, the kid's gonna blab.
The kid, like, is gonna blab. As soon as, like, he gets close to him with, like, a knife or anything.
He's just gonna be like, they're right here.
He's like, they're here, I'll take you to them. He's not gonna be, like, this defiant kid like he is in the whole movie. But anyway.
But so Cody starts running, and McLee, in fact, follows him in this big ass truck.
His tractor tank thing with a cage.
Which is so funny and so stupid at the same time, because Cody is a boy on foot running through the desert, being followed almost directly after by this giant truck thing. And he neither hears the truck following him, nor does the truck catch up to him. How does that even happen?
I think the idea is that McLee is, like, supposed to be far enough away that he can't hear him, but it's,
I don't think you could, because it's the middle of nothingness. You don't think you'd hear, like, anything a mile away.
Cody would hear the garage door, let alone the tractor tank with a cage chasing him, and he'd be like, all right, so maybe I shouldn't go directly for the eggs.
He would hear it chasing him. And also, you could also say that, like, I think something that was kind of implied is that McLee was following his footprints, but with the wind that is going on in that place, those footprints would be erased immediately.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just, it's never explained how the fuck Cody gets to, like, I don't understand it, how he never realizes that he's being followed.
He's such a, like, smart, defiant kid for so much of the movie, and then this part, he just doesn't
get
it at all.
But they don't even show us how that would happen, because they just cut. They let us assume that he never realized it, even though in reality, either the truck would have caught up to him, or, like, he would have, you know, realized that there was a truck following him.
Yeah.
And it was so dumb. But, so, Bianca, that's at the same time that Bianca and Jake and Bernard get to the door of, like, wherever McLee's hiding. And they hold on to the door because the door is opening. And that's when McLee throws Cody out. And it's so funny because then immediately they're like, that's the kid. It's like, how do you know that's the kid? How do you know? Because I never saw a picture being sent.
Yeah.
I saw the whole sequence of how the information was being spread from Australia to the US, and there was never a picture sent of what this kid is supposed to look like.
Yeah.
This is, for all you know, this is some random kid, but they immediately know that this is the kid that they're looking for, which is, you know.
Yeah, I feel
You know how many kids get kidnapped every single day, and they only send it for, like, Cody, Penny?
The amount
of kids that get kidnapped.
I feel like in the first movie, there's
Those kids special?
There's a scene in the beginning where they, like, are at the Rescue Aid Society, and there's a picture of Penny or something, or they at least know her name.
They know her name, because Penny, they find Penny's letter that she, like, threw onto the sea.
Exactly.
And then looking, they know her name, and looking for her, they go to her orphanage, and they talk to the cat. And the cat shows them a picture of Penny.
Yeah, exactly.
So they know who Penny is. Like, it's better explained in the first one. In this one, they just are like, oh, like, yep, this is Cody.
Kid?
My fucking...
Kid, it's Cody.
Random
Cody.
Kid. Yeah. First kid that we've seen this entire time. Yeah, that's gotta be the kid that we're looking for.
Exactly.
The one kid in Australia is the one that we're looking for.
Yeah, well, they are in the middle of nowhere in Australia, so I don't know. I guess they sort
and
of
also,
had to,
like,
assume.
How do they know where to go?
Jake just knows. They do this whole thing of, like, Jake knows the terrain or whatever, which...
Yeah, but how do they know that that's where McLee is?
I don't know.
Like, how do they know where to go? They get there at the exact same moment that he's throwing them out. Like, yeah. So, like, they get to where Cody was. How the fuck do they know that's
There's
where they have to go?
No explanation of, like...
There is no way this man who's, like, having illegal animals has given his location to anyone.
Well, I feel like Jake, if they just did, like, a little scene of, like, oh, Jake's a really good tracker or whatever, and they, like, showed him, like, looking at, like, the prints of, like, the tractor, maybe, right. or something.
But they don't even do that.
But they don't do that. They just fly straight towards...
Towards, like, we're gonna go find him.
Like, they know exactly where he is.
It's just, it's so weird.
Yeah, it's not... you know, described at all what Jake, they're just like, okay, Jake, at the beginning, Bernard's like looking at his map, and Jake's like, no, I know the terrain, I'll take you, because he wants to have some excuse to go with Bianca, right? So.
Well, but it's also smart, he does know the terrain.
He does, but like, they don't show, like,
and Bernard is a bitch.
There's, alright, but there's one thing where they're like, where Jake has to, like, I don't know, he rounds up a snake or whatever, and he's like, you're gonna take us there, or whatever.
That's when we said he was buck.
No, that's when... Oh, true. That is... I was going to say that's when you said it was hot.
No.
But you say that, like, at the beginning, like, when you first see him.
Yes. That's when we said he was buck.
When he was buck. Because it reminded me of the vine scene when he does that... When Buck does that to the T-Rex.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Ah, the Ice Age films.
Great. But, yeah, he just doesn't... There's no explanation at all of, like, okay, Jake just knows the terrain. And knows exactly where he is. I don't know. It's crazy. So... But then they get on the tractor tank... And they go to Cody, who has led McLee, I was going to say McNeil again, McLee exactly to the nest with the eggs. And the eagle...
Cody goes down, he takes care of the eggs, but what we don't know then is that he does a little switcheroo, and he switches the actual eggs for rock eggs.
I think Bernard does that. I think that's the idea.
Bernard?
Yes. I'll tell you why. So... Cody doesn't know he's being followed. He also thinks that the other eagle is dead, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's the whole idea. That's why he goes back for the eggs. McLee goes, all right, so what are the, you know, I fear for those eggs and the bird, you know, little baby birds and the eggs, because the other eagle is gone. So yeah. That's why he goes back to them, because he doesn't have, like, a mother.
But then the eagle shows up.
Yeah,
and it's like, oh my god, you're alive, but then...
But then McNeil has, like, a missile launcher...
He's gonna nuke the eagle.
He was gonna nuke the eagle, but then it's just a net. But we thought it was a bomb. We thought it was a missile.
We straight up just... It looked like a bomb. It looked like a missile. But then it exploded. It was just a net.
Net,
like,
missile.
Yeah, it's a net missile.
Yeah.
But it captures the thing.
The eagle. And
Cody. And then Cody jumps to rescue the eagle. But then Cody just gets tangled and almost falls to his death.
Again. Yeah.
And then Bianca and Jake also jump on that.
Bernard doesn't get up there because he's not as athletic as them or something. I don't know.
I'm telling you, Bianca and Jake are kind of made for each
other. Look, I don't care, alright? I don't care. Whatever you say. Look, two people don't have to be... They don't have to be athletic, you know? Like, one person doesn't have to have the same lifestyle just to like the other person. I'm just saying, right?
But they would get along better. Anyways, Bernard doesn't because he's a little bitch.
Okay.
And Jake and Bianca jump as well, and then all four of them just get cooped up into the little
jail.
That McNeil, McLee. You did that to me! That's your fault!
Hey, man.
You're the one calling a fucking waterfall an elevator.
He's McLee. I was gonna do it again, but...
Ah! So McLee, the little cage that McLee has in his tractor
tank thing. Yeah.
And then they go. And then that's when we have the whole thing where, like, Bianca's like, don't worry, Bernard will rescue us.
Well, okay, but first they try, try to get rid of the eggs, too. So, like, the whole reason that Joanna's sticking around is for the eggs. Right? And so what happens is Bernard knows that Joanna's coming for the eggs, and he replaces the eggs and the whole nest with a fake nest and rocks as the eggs. And then, so Joanna, like, tries, she has this whole scene where she's, like, trying to bite the eggs and the rocks. So she's, like, losing teeth and, like, she tries to, like, scratch the thing and, like, all her nails are gone. So she gets rid of the eggs. She's like, all right, fuck this. I'm not gonna...
She just chucks them down.
Kicks the eggs. She's like, all right, well,
at least... And she's like, all right, pull me up.
She's like, if I can't have the eggs, no one can have the eggs. And she's like, all right, pull me up. They do this whole Mission Impossible thing where they lower her down and then they take her back up. This movie has so many Mission Impossible references.
And then, yeah, they go back into the thing and then Bernard...
Bernard saves the eggs.
Yeah, and then that's when Wilbur comes back. He puts Wilbur on caretaking duty.
Yes.
Egg caretaking duty. That's what I meant to say from the beginning. And then Bernard somehow climbs the side of the fucking...
He does, yeah.
Mountain. The cliff. Gets to the top, and then this is the other unreal thing that they do in this movie, where, like, a mouse just starts going after the thing.
On foot.
Obviously, he's not gonna catch up on whether, like, when the... Where in the first place, Cody is very unreal, and Cody wasn't, like, caught up by the bag Mike Lee. It's also very unlikely that Bernard knows even how to make it back to the initial place where they found them.
Well, the way that they explain it is they have, or try to explain how he can keep up, is they get a razor back that is just in the desert for some reason. And
a what?
A hog.
Oh, the warthog.
The warthog. But McLee calls it a razorback, because that's what it is. It's like a nickname for it. But he, like, for some...
Well, but he does the first half on foot.
He does the first half on foot. And it's like nighttime, and he's still chasing after this tractor.
He does the first half on foot, and then he finds the warthog.
Yes.
It's like an old... It's like Pumbaa's grandpa, basically.
It really is.
It looks like Pumbaa's grandpa. It's like an old warthog.
And you think that this warthog is going to, like, beat him up or something. And Bernard takes control for some reason.
Yeah. We get an assertive Bernard.
Yeah.
That, like, it's like, listen up here. You're just going to drive me in. You're going to...
You're going to do it. I'm not going to have any flack from you, all right? And then the warthog is like,
whoa.
And it's another comedic thing. But it is Bernard,
that's when I go back into Bernard's team.
I love Bernard. He's my guy. Bernard, I have one of my notes here is just, I love Bernard. He's my guy. Because Bernard is my guy, okay?
My note here from Bernard is, Bernard's kind of a bitch. He's kind of a loser. But my final note is that he has done a lot more in this movie than he did in the first one.
He is the, he saves them at the end.
Yeah.
He gets the keys. All right.
So, he goes, he gets all the way back to the, like, secret layer, villain layer thing.
Well, they go to a river with crocodiles.
Oh, true, because he wants to shove, like, yeah. Because
he wants to kill Cody.
He wants to kill Cody and feed the crocodiles with Cody, which I pointed this out while watching the movie. There's, like, a lot of crocodiles in there.
Yeah.
And he wants to, like, he says, like, hey, boys, it's, like, meal time. And he wants to, like, throw Cody in the water. But that's, like, very, like, fucked up with the crocodiles. Like, he tells all of them it's mealtime, even though it's, like, this small little boy that is probably gonna feed, like, three of them.
Everybody gets one bite, all right?
Well, but you know crocodiles. They're not gonna share.
Everybody gets one bite of
the child. It's this tiny little kid that all these crocodiles could not possibly feed on.
Yeah, that's the most fucked up thing he does in the movie.
Yeah, it
He didn't bring enough
food for the crocodiles.
You know, torturing.
He should have just thrown the eagle in there, too.
Yeah, the poaching isn't bad enough, right?
He should have just
The poor the crocodiles, they only get one bite each.
Also, both of these movies have crocodiles in them, I just realized.
They do.
They just have to have crocodiles. In the Rescuer Cinematic Universe, you have to have
Gotta have crocodiles, man.
If you don't, are we even in the Rescuer Cinematic Universe?
Yep. So, they're like... Bianca and Jake they can't do anything. They're in the cage, and Bianca is, like, confident that Bernard is going to come and save them. And Jake has no confidence at all. Because at this point, why would he? Like, Bernard hasn't done anything.
Exactly.
Except,
why would he?
You know, have trouble riding a firefly and a snake and a
and
seagull.
Just have trouble doing anything.
Yeah. But Bernard, on his razorback, he
warthog.
I'm going to call it a razorback.
No,
that's what he,
call
that's,
it a warthog.
Warthog razorback pig thing
goes. It's not a pig.
And steals the keys to the tractor.
Offensive.
So he's about to, like, shoot down the rope. McLee is. He's about to shoot down the rope that is holding Cody away from the crocodiles.
Well, he keeps teasing the crocodiles, which is also very mean.
Okay.
He, like, keeps lowering him to the water and then pulling him back up before
he's
eating.
A villain.
And then going back to the water and then pulling him back up.
He's a villain.
He's teasing them.
Of course he is.
Even the blue balls.
He's...
But in the food way.
Yeah, in the food way. Whatever. Yeah. So he
what
takes
the... What is the blue ball equivalent of food?
I don't know.
Well,
but that's not what we're...
Something to think about.
Okay. So he takes the keys, and he's like, all right, McLee can't shoot down the rope now, or lower the rope, because, you know, the tractor tank doesn't, you know, it's not running. So he gets the keys, and he gives the keys to Bianca and Jake, and they get out. And how does McLee fall in the water? He falls in the water.
I don't know. I don't think I was watching
that part of the movie. I don't even remember. McLee gets knocked into the water by Joanna, I think. But Joanna is chasing Bernard. And Bernard, like, does a little, like dip out of the way. Like, you didn't see what I did there. But I did a little, like...
Yeah, you guys didn't see what he did there.
A little, like, move where he, like...
He did a little move, yeah.
Like, in basketball, when they, like, trip you up, he had, like, an imaginary basketball and, like, tripped him up. And Joanna pushes... Joanna and McLee fall. I'm never going to get that right. I'm never going to get fucking McLee right. I always, you always hear the, like, Lee thing, because I always think McNeil, because McLee sounds weird.
I think of Lee, the general from, you know.
Yeah, but his name wasn't McLee.
But it was Lee.
His name
general
was Robert
Lee.
E. Lee.
Yeah.
It wasn't McLee.
But I think of him.
I think of McNeil.
He was also a bitch, just like McLee.
Okay. So he gets knocked into the water, and the crocodiles chase after him until they realize that there's a giant waterfall. And he falls down the waterfall, and he's dead. Like, this is the biggest fucking waterfall. I don't know where they are in Australia, by the way, with, like, the giant cliffs.
And the giant
and forests. And giant waterfalls.
It's huge. It's giant.
Like, he falls for, like, 10 seconds down this waterfall.
But he falls to his death.
Yeah.
Even though that does happen after Cody falls. Cody falls first to his death.
Twice, almost. He almost falls twice to his death.
Well, I'm saying now in the waterfall. He falls to his death, and then, of course, that's exactly at the same right moment where Bianca and Jake get to untie the eagle, and then the eagle floats and saves Jake, and,
But, well, actually, before that, another thing Bernard does is he's, like, pulling this kid away.
So, Cody is on a rope, and Bernard somehow gets first onto dry land.
Yes.
And then starts pulling Jake on, like, because he's
Cody.
Holding on the other side of the rope. Yes. He starts pulling Cody, and it's like, sir, you are a mouse.
But he's got some strength. He's like the Hulk, man.
Yeah.
He's pulling, like, 20 times his weight or whatever. Or probably a lot more than that, actually.
Yeah, he's pulling a lot more than
probably
his
like
weight.
Probably, like, 100 times his weight, and he's doing a good job. Like, he's making sure this kid... And the only reason that the kid falls is because the branch breaks. It's not even because Bernard isn't strong enough. Bernard is built, all right? Bernard is, he's a swole motherfucker, right? And he, yeah, I just want to point that out.
Bernard's kind of...
He kind of just takes a transformation for some reason in the first half, the second
built different.
Half of the movie. He's built literally different than everybody.
Every other mouse.
But then the kid gets saved by the eagle.
Yeah, the eagle saves him again. He falls again to his death. The eagle saves him again.
He saves
him,
falls to
his
death.
And then they
all
float through space, like we said at the beginning.
Yeah.
They all float through space. And then that's it. That is where the movie ends. Then Bernard, like, proposes to Bianca on the eagle. Bianca says, hell yeah.
She's like, of course.
And then...
You're holding that kid for, like, 20 seconds, man. Yeah. That was impressive.
And then...
That's when the movie ends. They don't, like, see the mom. Like, he doesn't go back to the mom. Yeah. We don't know. The eagle could just dive bomb. And we would never know. But the movie just ends.
The eagle could just have, like, a stroke suddenly.
Oh, well, there's the thing at the end where Wilbur's, like, still sitting on the eggs.
Yeah, that's how the movie ends. Yeah. Wilbur's still sitting on the eggs, and then the eggs start cracking. Yeah. And then Wilbur's now a father, I guess. He's now the father to that.
Wilbur and the eagle are now connected forever. Because when the mom comes back, the kids are going to be like, no, Wilbur's my mom. They're going to have a problem. They didn't say that in the movie, but...
They're giving those kids some trauma.
Yeah.
But,
they are. Identity crisis incoming.
And yeah, that is the end of the movie. Overall, I liked it. I think it was a pretty good movie.
It's fine.
Riley did not like it. He told me right after we watched the movie, which I am still trying to process and trying to forgive him for saying that.
Forgive me.
Forgive you for your rating of this movie, if you would care to tell the people.
What did I say last night? Did I say... I think I said 3. I think I said I would give it a 3, and I'm not changing that. I'm keeping it a 3, because it's just... All right. So The Rescuers is already a forgettable franchise, right? And then you add this onto it, so where exciting. I think the first movie is better. I think the villain is better in the first movie. I think the kid, I like Penny more than Cody, by far. Mm-hmm. There's way more emotion in the first one, too.
Yeah, I agree.
Like, the scene with Penny where she's, like, crying, that's, like, that hits, man.
Yeah, she's praying for everyone.
She's praying. She's not gonna, you know, praying for a mom or a dad or whatever. She's, like, the, you know, there's way more heart in the first one.
I agree.
And I like the characters more. Like, there's no, the dragonfly in the first one.
That is
You
funny.
Love the dragonfly.
I do love the dragonfly.
And there's no dragonfly in this one.
There's no dragonfly.
And Orville, I think, is better than Wilbur. I think Wilbur is kind of a lot. Like, he's funny.
Oh, there's this whole side plot where Wilbur, like, broke his back.
He breaks his back, and it's so...
They bring him into, like, a...
Like an ambulance.
Like an ambulance full ambulance. Of mice that take care of him, and it's just...
There's this whole B plot where Wilbur's, like, afraid to... get surgery, which, fair enough, like, you know, that's
yeah,
scary.
Yeah, and they
shit.
Shoot him
with a shotgun of syringes. They do. They shoot him with a shotgun of syringes. And there's that whole B plot.
Yeah.
But it's just too much. The amount of albatross in the last movie was totally fine. Like, we didn't need any
but
more.
But we don't get albatross air. A fair fare from here to there.
Okay, but that's not... Or that's the... All right, there's
but
a couple.
But I like albatross air, a fair fare from here to there.
A fair fare from
it?
Here to there.
A fair fare?
Is great. And he says that. He's like, you get it? Because of the fair, you know? It's too much. Like, it's funny. He's funny. But it's like, by the end of the movie, I'm like, dude, I don't care. Wilbur is not as good as Orville. So I'm going to say that the first movie is better. And I already didn't really like the first movie that much. I thought the first movie was fine. And yesterday, I described this movie as an okay kids movie, which... means as a normal movie, which is how I rank these things, it's not good. It's boring, it's predictable, and it doesn't really add anything to the franchise other than the fact that they got married, which I thought they were going to do at the end of the first one anyway. So it's a 3 for me.
So I abstained
okay
from giving my rating yesterday to you because I knew you were going to react in a way that...
Well, the thing is, all of your rankings are bullshit.
Ah!
All of your rankings, and we talked about this, all of your rankings...
This is the only ranking that I don't think I'm, like...
Okay. All right,
I don't
I'm
think
ready
I'm
this,
being,
then.
Like, a bullshitter with this ranking.
Because sometimes you're like, all right, they're the London, there's no building, like...
I liked this movie. I liked it.
Okay.
I think it's better than the first one. Because as you said, the first one does have emotion... But the first one also makes me extremely sad. As a young child watching it, I was sad watching that movie. And I don't want a movie to make me sad.
Okay.
This movie's funny. This movie has an Australian landscape. It's funny. And as soon as I ended watching it, I thought, this is a 6.
A 6?
I think it's above average. Not that much above average. But I think it's above average. I like this movie. It's funny. It has heart. It has... I like Joanna better than the crocodiles.
I do like Joanna more than the crocodiles.
I like Joanna better than the crocodiles. I like Jack. I like the hot kangaroo. I like Jake.
Wait, who's Jack? You mean Frank?
Frank. I keep... For
Frank,
some reason,
which
I keep
I think,
calling him Jack.
I think the lizard in Alice in Wonderland is also called Frank.
That's funny. No, it's Bill. There
oh,
goes
it's Bill.
Bill.
There goes Bill. Okay, yeah, sorry. There goes Bill.
It's Bill. How could you forget it's Bill?
That's a callback.
Whoa, there goes Bill.
That's a callback.
But,
you like
I
the
like,
characters.
I yeah. like Frank. I like the hawk kangaroo. The eagle's majestic, which I understand why he's trying to capture it and sell it. Percival McLee, he's funny. I think he's funny. Medusa is deranged, and I don't like her. Percival, I kind of like him sometimes.
Okay. You know what the eagle reminds me of before
what?
You get away from it? It just reminds me of Brother Bear for some reason.
That's...
Like, when they're flying through the sky like that, I just think of Brother Bear, and I hear Phil Collins in my... not my way. I'm like, oh, God. I can't wait
Girl
to get to Brother
everybody,
Bear. Yeah.
I'm on my way.
I can't wait to get to Brother Bear, man.
I love Brother Bear so much.
But, yeah.
But, no, I actually do like this movie. And, again, I think it's a lot brighter, like, just, like, visually brighter than the first one, and also, like, plot brighter. Like, the first one's sad as shit.
It is super,
like,
sad.
Penny's whole story is sad, and it's a very dark movie. Like, most of the scenes in this entire movie take, in, like, the first one, take place at night.
In the darkness, yeah, true.
It's all in the dark. As a young kid watching it, I was like, why isn't this bright colored? I want bright colors. This is dark shit. This is, like, dark and kind of depressing. But this one's, like, a little more lively, a little more, like, you know, vivid characters.
Yeah.
The first one's just, it's just traumatic. The whole thing is just trauma-induced. Everything takes place at night.
You know?
Or in a dark cave.
You're making a lot of good points. I'm kind of tempted to change my ranking, to be honest.
This is what I'm saying.
Like, I don't think this has ever happened. Where I've been like, you know, that's a fair point. I don't know. I need to remember what I gave.
I don't remember Rescuers. What you gave the first one.
I think I gave The Rescuers a 4.
I think so.
So I think, yeah. I need to give this movie a 5 then. Or I'll just give it a 4 and say it's a better 4. Yeah, okay, I'll do that. I'll say it's a 4. It's a better 4.
I'm silently nodding at what he's saying because...
You made a lot of good points!
Yeah!
It's sad as shit. The first movie
it's
is
sad
depressing.
As shit. It's fucking sad.
This movie
sad.
Is funny. Even if sometimes it's like too much. Like Wilbur... is too much sometimes.
He is too much.
But it's funny.
But it's funny.
Bernard is funnier comic relief than he is in the first movie. Mm-hmm. Jake, you know, whatever.
He's there.
Jake is there. He's not funny, but he's there. But he's a character,
he's
right?
A character, he's a character that has a lot more personality than other characters.
Than the dragonfly in the first one or whatever.
Yeah.
I would say that I like the salamander. Joanna's better than the crocodiles.
The crocodiles.
I don't know about...
And like, then, yeah, again, Penny... Oh, sorry, it's just...
But I like Penny more than Cody.
I do though. Like Penny more than Cody, but she's just so sad.
Yeah, she is sad. I mean, she has a right to be sad, but...
No, she definitely has a right to be sad. Just her story is sad. Like, it's the first movie is very depressing.
There's also no, like, weird songs in this. Like, there are no...
Yeah.
They went... Okay, so the last movie, we put
they
in some
weird... They just
have
a didgeridoo at one point.
There is a didgeridoo at the beginning of the movie.
But there's no, like,
just
weird
to let you
music.
Know, by the way, if you didn't, like, read the title of the movie, we're in Australia.
Yeah, but
just say no.
There's no, like, weird music in this one.
Yeah. There's no weird, out-of-place montage with music in the background or anything like that. Just the Elvis bit, also. Like, that's the only music.
But even that, that's, like,
but that's just
diegetic music.
Yeah, exactly.
The music in the other one is non-diegetic, and
yeah.
It's weird.
It's
like,
weird.
Like, why is that?
Out-of-place.
It's very out-of-place.
Yeah, exactly. So... Yeah.
I'm glad that I'm making good points. I'm glad that you agree that I'm making good points because I told you that I was going to be honest with this one. I think it's better than the first one.
I think
one.
You should do that with all of them because you can maybe like convince me instead of being like, I'll give it 3 points for Smee or whatever. You're like actually making good points and I'm actually, you know.
Thinking, I got you to change your score.
You did get me to change my score. And now thinking about it, which one would I rather watch again?
The second one.
The second one is more fun to watch.
Exactly.
Even if it's, like, less of a movie. Like, it's not as good.
Less of an emotional ride.
Yeah, it's less emotional. Like
I prefer less emotion rather than just downright, I want to kill myself
yeah,
emotion.
Yeah, it's more of a kid's movie. Penny makes me want to cry. I didn't cry, but I was close.
We got close to crying watching
good.
The first one.
It was not great.
That shit's sad. It's sad as hell.
That's actually crazy. That's insane.
It's so sad.
I'm just, like, blown away how you, like, made me change my mind about something.
I have powers.
Which I feel like you could
powers.
Do with most of them, to be honest. But you're just like, oh, the... Because I was listening back to some of them. And you were...
Yeah.
And I remember you gave your ranking for Patch's London Adventure. And you're like, Big Ben wasn't in it. So,
yeah.
Minus a point. I'm like, oh, my God. But you're giving serious thought to this.
Yes.
I'm actually impressed.
Mom, thank you for
that's great.
Being impressed that I have a brain sometimes.
Well, I'm happy about it.
Happy about my...
That you made me change my mind.
That I showed my brain skills.
Yes, exactly. So, there you go.
Anyways, this has been a one-in-a-lifetime episode of this podcast where I got Riley to change his mind.
This will probably never happen again.
And I actually made good points on why this movie is better than what Riley thought it was.
It is, yeah.
And thank you all for... That's all I really have. That's all I have.
That's it.
I wasted my one brain cell in this argument.
I mean,
on like how it's better than the
you
first
had
one.
Other dumb arguments in the past, but you actually made some good points here. So
that's what I'm saying. I wasted my brain cell in the arguments in the past. I haven't wasted a single brain cell.
It's true. It's true.
But in here, I wasted brain power.
Yeah.
But anyways,
only took
you.
Us an hour and 15 minutes to talk about this movie.
Thank you for listening our little pod.
Oh my god.
I'll see you again next time with some other sad movies, because we are watching The Fox and the Hound, and that is a sad movie.
Oh god damn it.
See you again with a sad episode next time on the Pod.
Pod.